Our show is supported by Be My Guest with Ina Garten, Ina's official podcast from Food Network, back for its fourth season. On every episode, Ina invites a different friend to her home in the Hamptons to talk about life, love, and career, all while cooking up an amazing meal. Join Ina as she crafts a classic cocktail with journalist Frank Bruni and discusses the ins and outs of Yorkshire pudding with actress Emily Mortimer. If you're looking for great conversations about and over good food, tune in to Be My Guest with Ina Garten. Listen to Be My Guest with Ina Garten wherever you get your podcasts.
The new farm bill scores high on the scale of instigating strong opinions from all sides. Dr. Marion Nessel of NYU is one of the people commenting on the bill. She is the shaper of one of the broadest academic food programs in the country. That is NYU's Department of Nutrition, Food Studies, and Public Health. She's written three seminal tomes, Food Safety, What to Eat, and Food Politics. Marion, it's good to have you back.
Oh, glad to be back.
Well, Marion, your blog, Food Politics, a little while back, had a statement in it that you made that got my attention, and probably a lot of other people. You said, this farm bill is politically corrupt.
Yeah, I did say that.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did. So I think I'd love to hear some of the specifics that you're looking at here.
Sure. I mean, it's very difficult to understand the Farm Bill without understanding its history and without understanding the way our political system works. But the Farm Bill from the get-go, all the way back to President Lyndon Johnson, was set up to be political right from the beginning because Johnson was worried that he couldn't get a food stamp program passed to meet the needs of the poor in urban areas in a country that was mainly rural and cared about agribusiness and farmers in the Midwest. And he didn't think that the Northeastern and the urban areas in the country would vote for supports for agribusiness. And so he logrolled. He put them together in the Farm Bill so that they're inextricably tied. And that politicizes the whole thing right from the beginning, where there's nobody is sitting back and saying, what is the best way that we could support agriculture in this country in a way that will make sure that farmers make an adequate living, that farm workers are paid decently, and that we have an agricultural system that promotes health and supports the environment? That's not what's happening. What's happening is everybody is competing for their own piece of the federal pie. And what you see are these really ugly battles over food stamps and over direct payments and over a system that taxpayers pay for that supports agribusiness and the largest elements of agribusiness at that. I thought it was not an accident that President Obama signed the Farm Bill in front of a John Deere tractor, where Deere is one of the few companies that is able to provide crop insurance, so it benefits enormously from the bill. And, of course, the Deere company is a very generous donor to members of Congress.
There's evidently a lot of debate and dissatisfaction about the crop insurance part of this bill, but could you explain this?
Not very well. What I can say, what I can say is that taxpayers pay 62% of the premiums. So the government pays for it. When I taught a course on the Farm Bill and the class read the section on crop insurance and the documents that had been written about the crop insurance program, they said, we should be in the crop insurance business. You get the premiums, and if there's a failure, the government pays for it.
So essentially, a farmer pays for crop insurance, but he's
right.
subsidized or she is subsidized
right.
in that payment.
Right.
But isn't this something that's really helpful to a farmer? Because, this, you know, you roll the dice every time you plant for a season. A rainstorm can take
yes.
you out.
Yes. But we're not really talking about farmers benefiting from the Farm Bill. When I think of farmers, I think of, you know, these bucolic people growing family farms and fruits and vegetables with a few cattle and so forth. That's not who benefits from the Farm Bill. agribusiness benefits from the Farm Bill. This is supportive agribusiness, which is doing very, very well these days and has for years. So, I wish that farmers were helped by the Farm Bill. And maybe the crop insurance will help some of them, and that would be wonderful. But that's not where most of it is going.
One of the things that was complained about for a long time was this idea that the subsidies, the aid for farmers, goes to farmers who are doing large-scale commodity crops, the soybeans, the corn, et cetera, but not to the farmers who are growing the five a day that we're being told we
should eat. Absolutely not.
And it is, but has that changed with this bill?
No, I don't think so. There used to be a clause in the direct payments to farmers that forbade them from growing fruits and vegetables if they were getting subsidies for corn, soybeans, and so forth. That presumably has been eliminated, and I'm not sure how that works now. That might be an incentive to have agribusiness go into fruits and vegetables. That's either good, bad, or indifferent, depending on how you feel about how they grow these things.
Well, and what are your feelings about the food stamp cut? Because that's been a subject of a lot of conversation.
Well, the best thing that you can say about the Farm Bill is that it could have been a lot worse. Certainly, the Republicans in the House were eager to cut food stamps by an extraordinary amount. As it is, the cut is about 1%, and not nearly as horrible as it could have been. So people who are looking at it from the outside say, not bad. You know, there's an $800 million cut a year that's, not so terrible. That's about $50 a person a year. Everybody can handle that. They're not poor. They're not experiencing what it's like not to have any money and to try to get through a winter and to try to get through life with very little money and in an economy that just doesn't have any jobs.
But there are some positive sides, supposedly.
There are. There are little tokens scattered throughout the bill that do lovely things for organics, for farmers markets. It looks to me like there's money for Food Corps in the Farm Bill. That would be terrific. That's the group that goes into schools and teaches school kids how to garden and do other life skills like that around food. I think that's absolutely terrific. And so sprinkled in and out, there are a bunch of things that are probably quite useful and that will help people who are trying to work with the poor and low-income groups about trying to eat more fruits and vegetables.
Well, at least there's some encouragement.
There's some encouragement. Yeah. It's not as much as I would have liked to see.
Well, Marion, it'll be interesting to see what happens 5 years down the line with the next bill.
Oh, I can't wait.
Hey, thanks for talking with us,
Marion.
My
pleasure. Anytime. Bye-bye.
Marion Nessel is Paulette Goddard Professor of the Department of Nutrition, Food Studies, and Public Health, and Professor of Sociology at New York University. Her blog is Food Politics.
I'm Tanya Mosley. In 1987, my sister Anita vanished without a trace. Decades later, thanks to DNA, we found her. But that's only the beginning of the story. She Has a Name is a new audio documentary that explores the search for redemption, confronting trauma, and healing in the face of unimaginable loss. Subscribe now to Truth Be Told Presents She Has a Name, where every revelation brings us closer to the truth.